Both of these segments are entertaining. They hold children's attention. On the distractor, they score brilliantly. But do they actually teach the fundamentals of reading? That's a much harder question. To answer it, the producers of Sesame Street called in a group of researchers at Harvard University, led by a psychologist named Barbara Flagg, who are experts in something called eye movement photography. Eye movement research is based on the idea that the human eye is capable of focusing on only a very small area at one time, what's called our perceptual span. When most of us read, we focus on chunks of text, usually one keyword and then four characters to the left and 15 characters to the right. That lingering focus is called a fixation. The reason you can only focus clearly on that much text is that most of the sensors in your eye, the receptors that process what you see, are clustered in a small region in the very middle of the retina called the fovea. That's why you move your eyes when you read. You can't pick up much information about the shape or the color or the structure of words unless you focus your fovea directly on them. If you can track where someone's fovea is moving, you can tell with extraordinary precision what they are actually looking at and what kind of information they are actually receiving. The people who make television commercials, not surprisingly, are obsessed with eye tracking. If you make a beer commercial with a beautiful model, it would be really important to know whether the average 22-year-old male in your target audience focuses his fovea only on the model or eventually moves to your can of beer. Sesame Street went to Harvard in 1975 for the same reason. When kids watched Oscar's Blending or Hug, were they watching and learning about the words, or were they simply watching the Muppets? The experiment was conducted with 21 4- and 5-year-olds, who were brought to the Harvard School of Education over the course of a week by their parents. One by one, they were seated in an antique barber's chair with a padded headrest about 3 feet away from a 17-inch color television monitor. A Gulf and Western infrared eye view monitor was set up just off to the left, carefully calibrated to track the fovea movements of each subject. What they found was that Hug was a resounding success. 76% of all fixations were on the letters. Better still, 83% of all preschoolers fixated on the letters in a left-to-right sequence, mimicking, in other words, the actual reading process. Oscar's Blending, on the other hand, was a disaster. Only 35% of total fixations fell on the print. And exactly 0% of the preschoolers read the letters from left to right. What was the problem? First, the letters shouldn't have been on the bottom of the screen because, as almost all eye movement research demonstrates, when it comes to television, people tend to fixate on the center of the screen. That issue, though, is really secondary to the simple fact that the kids weren't watching the letters because they were watching Oscar. They were watching the model and not the beer can. "I remember Oscar's Blending," Flagg says. "Oscar was very active. He was really making a fuss in the background. And the word is not close to him at all. He's moving his mouth a lot, moving his hands. There's a great deal of distraction. The kids don't focus on letters at all because Oscar is so interesting." Oscar was sticky. The lesson wasn't. There is something profoundly counterintuitive in the definition of stickiness that emerges from these examples. Leventhal found out that the hard sell, but trying to scare students into getting tetanus shots, didn't work. And what really worked was giving them a map they didn't need, directing them to a clinic that they already knew existed. We all want to believe that the key to making an impact on someone lies with the inherent quality of the ideas we present. But in none of these cases did anyone substantially alter the content of what they were saying. Instead, they tipped a message by tinkering with things on the margin, by putting the Muppet behind the HUG, mixing Big Bird with the adults. The line between hostility and acceptance, in other words, between an epidemic that tips and one that does not, is sometimes a lot narrower than it seems. The creators of Sesame Street did not junk their entire show after the Philadelphia disaster. They just added Big Bird, and he made all the difference in the world. Howard Leventhal didn't redouble his efforts to terrify his students into getting a tetanus shot. He just threw in a map and a set of appointment times. The law of the few says there are exceptional people out there who are capable of starting epidemics. All you have to do is find them. Stickiness is the same way. There are simple ways to package information that, under the right circumstances, can make it irresistible. All you have to do is find it.